Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today, Twitter has a new hashtag for pre-existing conditions. Flying cars are back, and I saw Guardians of the Galaxy. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
All you rap niggas running in place. Nothing to say, you such a disgrace. I don't want it easy, baby, it's the love of the chase.
Life welcome is a wet to Geek Nerd Tech, show we break Why down tech news, nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective. My name is Joe Braswell. I'm joined, as always, by my man Akili Shine. What's happening?
What's good, my man?
How you doing?
Doing well, man.
We missed a week. We're traveling, running around. But we're back this week.
Yes, sir. Back in the spot.
I saw a movie. I listened to some music. I looked at the internet. Okay. That's about it. What'd you do?
I shot a movie. I posted it on the internet.
That was cool.
And I scored it myself.
There you go. All right, good. Lots to talk about, man. A lot of crazy stuff happening in the political arena. But, you know, just really quickly, I mean, your boy Trump just fired the director of FBI. Like, he just did, like, it did a Nixon. Like, investigate me, you fired. Like, is that not how you feel about that?
Hey, man, it's all this smear tactics and cover-ups and misdirection and all these strategies to kind of, like, play with our emotions. Like, I feel like the firing of him, obviously, because there's dirt on him.
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, I think that's going to backfire on him, though. I think it's going to just invigorate more people to, like, want to uncover stuff. But
it's already happening.
Exactly. I mean, I think the dude was already wrong anyway. So, I mean, I'm glad he got fired.
Yeah.
I still want, you know, whatever hacking or things that were done to shift the election, I want those things to come to light. And so if whoever the new director is, or if there's another agency that's, you know, doing that type of investigative work, I hope they uncover it and present it and Trump gets impeached.
I do too. Here's the bad news, though. Trump gets to put in a new guy, and it's probably going to be your good friend Rudy Giuliani, or your good friend Chris Christie, who's going to be like, investigation?
Off.
What investigation? Right. You know, but and also, you know, a separate prosecutor, whoever that person may be, still has to answer and use the resources of the FBI. So even if they appoint you as a special prosecutor, right, you know, you're just a lawyer. You still got to ask Giuliani for his resources. You got resources. I don't got no resources. Hey. So, but we'll see how that goes.
Good chess move on his part, then, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but the good news is the people and are not having it. Twitter is not having it. The people are loud about it. I mean, every news organization is really on it. CNN's on it. MSNBC's on it. Rachel's on it. 60 Minutes, Frontline. Everybody's on it, like, in a crazy way. And it's already come out that, you know, Comey's asked for a ton of additional resources because he's finding so much stuff. He's like, yo, I need more resources. I need more resources from you guys to get this stuff. And Trump's like, more resources, you're fired.
Right.
You know, and also he's just about to testify in front of the Senate, you know, Judiciary Committee.
Right.
And conveniently he's fired.
Yeah.
Because he was too hard on Hillary Clinton, allegedly.
Right.
But anyway, it's crazy. But it's interesting how social media has been reacting to that. And we're seeing a lot of this in social media, you know, mostly in Twitter. People really, utilizing Twitter, Facebook, and Twitter specifically to start these movements. And one of the things, you talk about these distractions. I mean, this is distracting us for the other thing, which is this ACHA, this new healthcare turd that kind of came through, worse than the other that the House passed, and so it's going to the Senate.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I don't think the Senate's a little more reasonable than the people in the House, but there's a new hashtag, I am a pre-existing condition.
That's right.
And it's a way, you know, all these 25 million people were about to lose health care. I mean, the thing about this thing with a CHOC or whatever it's called, AHAA, the thing about this health care plan is people will die. People will go bankrupt. People will die. So that's just a fact. People will lose health care. So it's one thing to be like, oh, it's a check in the ledger. But what this hashtag is doing is it's putting the faces and stories to these people. These are real people.
Absolutely.
You know, with real things. There's that one guy who was sitting in a hospital room with his cancer-ridden, wife, and was like, I've been here for 123 days. If this thing passes, I will watch my wife die.
That's right.
You know, and it's a lot of that. So that's crazy. I mean, what do you think of this?
I mean, number one, it's not going to pass. The Senate is not going to pass it through. So I would be highly shocked if that happened. Like, highly shocked. If I'm a betting man, like, I'm going to win that bet.
Yeah.
But in terms of, you know, hashtag activism, I think that it's great to bring awareness to this issue. And I think this is the positive power of social media, to be able to use these platforms to, you know, build awareness and build community. And I think that, just having the dialogue, you know, at a constant, you know, it empowers us to want to do something about it and to be more vocal and to be more, take more leadership over our and agency over our own lives. And so I think that it's definitely a slap in the face to the American citizens and to the people, to the children and the parents and just people of this country. I feel like, man, someone that has a pre-existing condition because they had asthma at 7 months as a kid, now they can't get the proper medications because of this healthcare law. It's just ridiculous. And yeah. I think it just shows the greedy nature of the people that drafted this bill. Like it's supporting the wealthy, it's supporting the people on the corporate level. And I think that, you know, having the platform to be able to communicate this, you know, like I said, it just builds awareness, and I think that awareness will prevent it from actually going through.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, and I think the only thing that worries me is you still got Mitch McConnell in there, who is a master at, I mean, he's really good at figuring this shit out. I'm not saying that it's going to, I mean, it won't pass as is, but he may figure out a way to get a version of it passed and get some, he's really good at like getting the coalition built, Republicans, and doing some, pulling some strings. So hopefully it doesn't, like this or a version of this won't pass, but you know, we'll see how that works out. But from hashtag activism to real activism, which is also a thing that's happening now, I mean, the resistance is real. Many things people are fired up about that Trump's doing is this whole, you know, rolling back all the Obama measures that to prevent net neutrality.
Right.
You know, of course, you know, Trump being pro business, you know, is deciding that it's better that, you know, that these giant telecommunications companies can do what they want and charge you what they want.
Nobody.
And so the people are taken to the streets, and people are holding a protesters are holding a rally on net neutrality, and it's like they think it's going to be one of the biggest rallies around. And it's this group called Fight for the Future.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say it's insult to the intelligence of internet users, and
absolutely
we're not
going to
stand for it. What's interesting about that is you have a bunch of these groups who normally don't protest, who've taken to the internet with hashtag activism, and then you have the internet who've taken to the streets.
It's all fucked up.
It's kind of crazy, but what do you think?
I mean, yeah, I mean, we kind of had this banter for a number of years about net neutrality and just the pluses and minuses of it. And I mean, again, it's corporate greed, like, at the end of the day. And I think that every person should have fair and equal access to information, because that funnels your imagination, that funnels your dreams, and that helps you to be able to build and propel your life forward. And to be able to say, hey, one group of people can have fast, another group of people can have slow. Like, what type of world is that?
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like this is just insane. I don't believe
people who pay can have fast.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I don't believe in the argument that, you know, these companies need to have the leverage to be able to raise prices because they want to build more infrastructure, which the argument is, hey, we'll create more jobs. I don't believe that. I feel they're just fattening up their pockets at the expense of us.
Yeah, the, you know? The argument's always like it promotes competition,
right?
Like, you know, like, if, yeah, you know, it's so everyone can have internet. All you just make a little more money, Keely, right? And if you can afford to have it too. And frankly, right, if someone's price is too high, it promotes another internet company to lower their prices, right, to be competitive. That's right. Not true. That means everyone's prices get high and stay high.
Exactly.
And they compete with each other at a rate that's like this.
Exactly.
With the whole market's high.
I mean, and the thing is, we got to be future-facing. Like, our dependency on the internet, our dependency on digital content, like, is ever-increasing. Right. You know, all the ad revenue for most of these platforms come from mobile. And if you don't have a fast Wi-Fi connection at the house, you know what I'm saying? Like, how are you going to be able to download that film? Right. How are you going to be able to get, you know, that new PDF, that new audiobook or whatever?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's unfair, because it blocks your opportunity to advance yourself, because you don't have the extra $10 a month to be able to pay for a faster speed based on demographically maybe where you live or whatever the conditions may be that are preventing you from it. Right. I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly. I'm glad people are taking to the streets, and we'll just see how much all this thing. It's like everything Trump does, if it gets a million people in the streets, then that has to mean something, especially in 2020. I mean, we'll forget 2020 and 2018. You know, hopefully we can swing some of these seats back to the Democratic side. But
right.
We'll see. And this is clearly a very partisan show because we are on one side of the aisle. this is not a you know, the views expressed. I don't know. Never mind.
Right.
I'm going to assume that the views of BHL are all in line with ours, but I could be wrong. All right. So enough of that. Let's move on to your boys over at Facebook. Because in the probably most unshocking news of all time, Facebook has added another 76 million users
right
in the first quarter.
Big shocker! Like
their ad sales are up 51%.
Holy smokes!
And then with no sign of slowing down,
man.
Facebook is dominating. They're like the 27 Yankees. They're like the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers right now. They're just dominating. Like,
absolutely.
Because like we talk about this all the time, but every time like someone rises up, Snapchat, because they have Instagram and Facebook, every time Snapchat rises up, they're like, okay, Instagram's going to do that. Every time someone rises up, they just smack them back down.
Exactly.
And then figure out a cool way to monetize it because they have this already built-in user base that easily, whenever they launch something, you're instantly populating with their billion user base.
That's right.
And also this really, really, really robust ad delivery system via web, mobile,
mm-hmm.
really robust mobile delivery system. So when they launch something, then boom, it's just another platform for them to sell to their already existing people that want to fuck with Facebook.
That's right.
So that's why it grew 51%.
But not just that. I think the expansion internationally as well, because we always think about it domestically. And if you look at the statistics, the domestic increase was not as high. So most of that percentage base was South Pacific, was other places throughout the world.
Right.
I mean, it's about to reach 2 billion users, which is freaking retarded.
Right.
But the fact that, you know, Facebook has a strategy to expand in these other markets, I think is pretty incredible. They haven't cracked China yet, obviously.
Right.
And there's some other countries in that area that they probably will never crack. But I think having, you know, a plan in place to be able to expand internationally, I think is the move, because they're able to hire new people, more employees, or be able to acquire new other forms of technology, other businesses, like they acquired Instagram, like they acquired what's the other one they acquired? Now I'm drawing a blank. But whatever. They'll be able to have more, you know, padding to be able to do that, and I think that's kinda cool.
Yeah. So, in addition to that, they also you know, they're under a lot of fire for their, you know, what's been going on with them and their hate speech, you know, promotion of hate speech and Twitter and Facebook. And also you know, Facebook's under fire for having a lot of these people murder on Facebook, get murdered on Facebook Live, commit suicide on Facebook Live. So they're hiring 3,000 people to help prevent suicide and murder videos from being shared.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't really stop people from murdering people or committing suicide, but you can definitely stop these videos from being shared when they pop up. I mean,
right.
Do you think this is, I mean, 3,000 people is a lot of people. Do you think this is will make a difference?
I think, yeah, it definitely will make a difference. Be able to have 3,000 people that have their eyes and ears on, you know, what's being put up on the platform, and to be able to circumvent it if it, you know, doesn't meet the terms and conditions. I think that's key. And I mean, it's, no one wants to see some child being killed on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or just period.
Yeah. But
especially on Facebook. So if there's a way that they can create an algorithm or create some watchdog system where, hey, this is some salacious or some criminal activity that's happening and pull the plug essentially so that it's not shareable, I think that's great, because I think that degrades their brand. You don't want to be known for the brand that is an outlet for people to commit all sorts of crazy atrocities. And so they have to put a stop to it, because it's not gonna well, it could bring more attention to it, but I think it'll bring the wrong attention. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully this does something. And but they are making a move. These are just two areas that they're trying to make a move in, which is this whole murder Facebook Live situation. They got to make a move there, whether it's PR or not.
Right.
And the other where it is based is this fake news situation,
right.
which they're trying to address. And then they're taking action about with that too. They've announced that they're gonna do a counter. They're actually not calling it fake news. They're calling it government sponsored information campaigns. So I guess that means, like, you know, it's just a longer thing. They're calling it government-sponsored information campaigns designed to deceive people for geopolitical goals. So that should be an acronym. like Gushapoke. But no,
I can't.
It sounds like an acronym in the making, but I guess it's too many consonants. Anyway, but yeah, so that's basically fake news, and they're like, you know, this happened in France. You saw France. You know, the Russians tried to get France didn't work because you know, arguably the French people aren't. Like the France, there's no Fox News in France, so you know it could spread the same way. Right. There's no one to parrot the same crap. There's no one to pick up that fake news and run with it, right, like what happens in our country.
Right.
But so Facebook is really trying to have it. They're cracking down on that as well. So I mean, do you think all that? And they've already like suspended 30,000 fake accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They're like actively doing shit. I mean, do you think this is real? Is it PR? Do you think these two steps are valid, or do you think this is PR?
I mean, I think it's always PR.
Right.
I mean, but I think it is valid. It has some validity as well. I mean, they have to protect the brand, like I said earlier. Like, they don't. All those things diminish the experience on Facebook. You don't want to go on there and see people getting murdered. You don't want to go on there and read about fake stuff.
Right.
You want to be able to have an authentic experience. And so they have to do this, you know? So,
yep, and not fake news. Government-sponsored information campaigns designed to deceive people for geopolitical goals. Glop-a schlop. Or fake news is easier to say, but I don't know. No, I agree with you 100%, and I think that it's actually real, and so we'll see. Speaking of real, our friends at Blue Apron, they have some very real meals. Blue Apron's a fantastic service that allows you to make gourmet-style meals, restaurant-style meals at your house. They deliver to your door with high quality ingredients like locally sourced vegetables and sustainably grown meats and sustainably caught fish that are approved with a partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch, so you know it's good. But other than that, they actually have these amazing meals, and their menus are crazy. You have things like beef teriyaki stir fry with sugar stir fry not stir fly stir fry with sugar snap peas and lime rice, baked spinach with egg flatbread, sauteed asparagus and lemon aioli, three cheese and baby broccoli stromboli with tomato and oregano and dipping sauce, all kind of shit that I would never cook on my own, but that the Blue Apron folks allow you to cook and give the recipes to. It's really cool. It's really dope. I've done it. It's fun. It's easy. It tastes good. You too can try this too. What they're gonna do at Blue Apron, they're gonna give you sign up now. You get your first three meals for free.
That's right.
The first three meals for free. All you got to do is go to blueapron.com/geek, or not /geek, blueapron.com/geek, as in geek nerd tech. You'll love how it feels, how it tastes, how it looks. Incredible home-cooked meals it's like less than $10 a meal, which is crazy.
That's perfect.
Perfect. Less than $10 a meal.
That's crazy.
That's ridiculous. So, again, that's blueapron.com/geek. It's a better way to cook. First three meals free. You should try it out.
That's awesome.
So, YouTube is kind of doing some stuff right now, because first of all, they've got the YouTube TV. Have you peeped that out yet?
Yeah.
I subscribed to the free trial. I actually like the YouTube TV. I like the interface. I mean, you can't really use it on your computer unless you have Chrome. That's how they get you. But you can use it on your Safari, a browser on your iPhone. And obviously you can use it on your TV.
Right.
I think the interface and the way you can get in and out of these shows is fantastic. I think the DVR function is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Everything's great about it, except for the fact that it doesn't have all the channels. It didn't have any of the Viacom channels.
Right.
So no.
Yet.
Yet.
Right.
But if they crack the Viacom piece and some others, this is a way better thing for me than Sling, which I love. Sling has everything, but I think their navigation is really clunky.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they solve that. But that's not what I'm talking about. YouTube itself is joining the ranks of HBO and Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. Yeah. And they're adding 40 new original programs. Now, they got an original programming business early on, but with these YouTube stars.
Right.
But now they're signing some big-name stars. James Corden,
Kevin Katy Hart.
Perry, Kevin Hart. So
Ellen.
Yeah, Ellen. They're kind of doing it big. So what do you think of this? What do you think of Google's big play here to get into TV in a major way?
They have the cash, man.
Yeah.
They have the bucks. They have the infrastructure. They just need to, create the experience, create the awareness. And I think that, like our experience on YouTube is kind of siloed into either you use it as for its search functionality. You want to look up something, you want to see it visually, or you want to experience music videos. But in terms of the experience of like full feature films or like documentaries that are longer than shorts, like I think they need to be able to promote that better, or even serialize or episodic content. I think that's where it just needs bigger awareness, because you think most of that content is for a younger generation, but they want to be able to obviously expand to everybody. And right. So having the star power is going to do that. You know, having those big names, having, you know, the 40 shows that they're developing, I think is going to bring that, you know, to the fold and to the forefront. And then especially having the hardware and the infrastructure to be able to experience it, not just on your laptop or your tablet or phone, but you can watch it literally on your television, I think it's going to be dope. And yeah. I'm pretty sure that the quality of the programming will be on point. I think it's just time, man. It's time catching up to the technology, and people, you know, just people are gonna have to put their flag into what they like. You know, there's so many options. Yeah. Like, are you in the YouTube camp? Are you in the Amazon camp? Are you a Netflix person? Are you an HBO person?
Do you think this is going to ultimately mean for the power structure of television as we know it? In other words, you know, the big three, not the big four, for the last 20 years, ABC, Fox, and NBC, and CBS are just paragons of power for the last like 80, 70 years in television and radio. So Fox for the last 30. So like, are we seeing a shift to the new big three being Absolutely. Amazon, Netflix, and Google?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of people would argue no, but I would say maybe it's hard to see, but it's definitely the Titanic that's hit the iceberg.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, you know, level, you know, but underneath, like, it's got holes in it, and the water is going to fill and it's going to sink, you know. And I feel because a lot of the big three were slow to adapt to the technology, I think that it's too far gone. Like, it's too far gone to fix. I think the Netflixes of the world, all these tech companies that have these huge amounts of money, they're just better positioned to be able to shift to whatever they need to shift to.
Yeah.
Like, the old infrastructure is too slow.
Yeah.
Like we talk about, even it's like the old infrastructure is like the government.
Right.
Like, we have all this technology to go to space, but the government is still, because of regulations, can't do certain things. I feel like that with the old, you know, terrestrial television.
Sure. So, sure.
And what do you think?
Well, it's interesting. I do think there's a new big three, and I think that there's a wild card this whole operation, which we haven't discussed, is, I mean, well, you know, first of all, in the old big three, we said the big four, because I think it has to include Fox, you know.
Oh,
but
yeah, definitely.
But like, CBS, who is making the most money and leading the charge, they're really making a push with their streaming service. They've lost CBS All Access. They've got, you know, the Good Fight is doing really well for them on CBS All Access. You know, obviously Star Trek Discovery is coming up later, which is, you know, which is also good. Hopefully will be good for them. So they're already making those moves. NBC and Fox are still leaning on Hulu, which is one thing, but it does make me wonder about Disney and what Disney's doing, what Disney will do over at ABC and ESPN. They seem to be a little behind the times on the TV side, on the streaming side. But the wild card here in all this that we haven't really mentioned is Apple. We're still waiting to see what Apple's going to do. And there's still talk that Apple may come in and buy something.
That's what I'm saying.
They may come in and buy. Apple may buy Netflix. Apple may buy, you know, something. So, I mean, you know, Apple may buy Paramount Pictures. Apple, you know, so who knows? It's an interesting time. Interesting time. I think what you're going to see is one of these tech giants are going to start to buy up these traditional media companies.
I don't know. Why? I mean, the only reason why they would do that is if they wanted to acquire the legacy content.
Yeah.
Like, why would they buy it? They could just develop their own content. The valuation is because of the legacy content.
I don't know if no one's buying a CBS per se, but like, you may want to buy it. Like Comcast bought NBC.
Okay.
You know, so Comcast gets all of NBC's everything. They get all those networks.
Right.
So it's a great acquisition for it. And now Comcast is not a tech company.
Yeah, they're a broadcaster.
But
I mean, they're an ISP, you know, internet service provider. Whatever.
Interesting times. There's this new thing with senior citizens, I think, that's going around, that like, you know, being able to have senior citizens look through virtual reality, look at their lives in the past. Like, in other words, being able to like do things where you can walk through your old neighborhood as a kid, you know, have your pops walk through, you know, all the spots. that he you know grew up with grandfathers. It's good for therapy. I mean, what do you think of this sort of interesting use of VR technology, and do you think that this will be used, you know, I mean, VR besides gaming?
Right. I think it's great, and I think the conversation is always targeted for millennial generation.
Yep.
Like, hey, how we leverage it through games, or we leverage it through movies or whatever. But I think that we kind of don't have the conversation with another huge demographic, and that is elderly people, or people that may not be as mobile, and to be able to provide them an experience of exactly what you said, either something, a nostalgic experience of a past life or past time where they actually, you know, really enjoyed it. Or it could be like, hey, I'll never be able to hop on a plane and be able to go see a volcano or whatever, or a waterfall, but I can do it through VR. And so
right.
to be able to develop content that will still bring some sort of happiness and joy to people, I think it's definitely a need, and I think people will definitely gravitate to it. I just see VR everywhere now. I'm just really looking forward to it really getting better, just the whole experience and the quality of the content, and just more content. Like, I think, but the dual purpose of it, not just for games, but for just, hey, therapeutic purposes or healing purposes, or even, like I said, nostalgic. I think those are cool methods to be able to leverage and harness the technology.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm very excited and interested to see how this whole thing plays out.
I mean, because like for you as an elderly person, like you would want to put it on for what reason?
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Appreciate you for that. I want to skip around here. Oh, this is a new story. Like, talking about we could be getting rid of chargers soon. So like smartphones may be able to run forever. There's a technology out there that's talking about these self-charging lithium batteries that will allow our phones to just run. And not just phones, but everything. I mean, this could be a game changer. But when self-charging, like, you know, they said that this should be ready by earlier this month, but I don't know. What do you, obviously, it'd be great if it works, but what do you think of this?
I mean, theoretically, I think it'd be awesome. I know that it's still theory. They're still developing it. It still needs a little bit more, you know, investment in infrastructure. They're still exploring the different, I guess, diodes and
right.
how they harness the light energy to create the electricity in the phone. But yeah, I think that would be awesome to not have to be plugged up into the grid to be able to use the device that all of us are so dependent on.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, imagine a phone never dying. Like,
yeah,
that,
because,
that's fucking
well,
awesome.
That's huge, because like we are so dependent on this phone, but we're also, you spend any time at, you know, this summer at any festival for anywhere for any long time, like your phone is dead.
Or if you're hiking in the woods.
Right. Or you get lost, and like you are, I mean, it's one thing to not have service, but it's another thing to just be dead.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely something that's interesting. I think that, that's where this is going. We know that the new Apple iPhone is supposed to have something that will allow us to just do the whole sit down charge thing as opposed to plugging
wow.
it up.
How advanced.
Apple, they're a little late on stuff, but they they're getting there. We'll see how it all plays out. I want to switch gears because I had the opportunity to see a little movie called Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Have you had time to see anything yet?
I have not, man.
Okay.
So let me just run a couple questions.
Yep.
So do you think that it was better than one? First one?
I do.
You do? Wow.
I actually think it was about the same as one.
Okay.
I thought one was really strong. I think that this was equally, I think it's just another, it just didn't disappoint. It delivered with equal measure, which is really all I can hope for. I mean, I guess you can hope that each sequel bests the next sequel.
Right.
But, you know, in the age of sequels in general, all you can hope for is at least as good,
right?
Because you got to a point where you want to see all these people again. So once you get over the there they all are. Once you get over that thing, they still got to do stuff,
right?
And what you see has got to be amazing. I think that James Gunn has some really amazing, really shot great, beautiful shots in there. And It's super creative. It's funny. Super wonderful. It's funny. I laughed a lot. I laughed out loud a lot. The audience I saw it with laughed out loud a lot. I saw it in IMAX 3D.
Wow! Because you normally don't do the 3D experience.
No, but with this, the IMAX 3D, I just got sucked in. I'm really like, okay, it's IMAX. Hmm. I feel like Guardians of the Galaxy. This feels like a really, it's one of the things that it feels like an old-fashioned, good movie, fun experience. That's what I said about 2 years ago. I thought that was just a good time at the movies.
That's what's up.
So I felt like, I'm busy. I want a good time. I'm going to go to the movies. I want a good time at the movies. I want to, spend the $22 and sit down and do the IMAX, do the whole whoop-de-bam. And right. It was great.
So I would assume that the way it ended, it allowed for a 3, right?
It said the first title you see is The Guardians of the Galaxy Will Return.
Got it.
At the end,
you're saying?
The end. Oh. The first thing you see, Guardians Will Return.
Do you think that it'll return, or will there be a spinoff on one of the characters?
No, it's going to return. I mean, obviously, it's still part of this whole the MCU, the Marvel, extended the whole Marvel universe. But I think that, if you follow the comics, this is this is probably the last, Marvel's talking about their different phases. This is either the beginning or the end of, I can't remember now, this is either the beginning of phase 3 or the end of phase 2, but whatever's going on, this is definitely all leading up to Avengers Infinity War. So Infinity War Volume 1 and 2. They're already shooting Infinity War Volume 1 right now, part 1, so that's being shot right now. And then I don't know if they're gonna shoot them back to back and release them differently. I guess that would make the most sense.
Right.
But Infinity War, if you know the comics, it's everybody. It's like
the whole shebang.
Like Civil War on crack.
Right.
So it's like so the Guardians will be in it. Everyone will be in it. And what they've done with this is they finally expanded this world to where, Thor Ragnarok is. It takes place out in the world of Guardian of the Galaxy. No spoiler alert, but it's a comic book that we found Hulk. It kind of takes care of the Planet Hulk comic, where Hulk is out there in the Guardian of the Galaxy world, and Thor is out there too. So it does that storyline, so then that puts them in the Guardians universe to bring them all back to Earth. Thanos. I'm getting deep in the weeds now. But Thanos is the father of both Gamora and the other chick, the robot chick. So, and Thanos is the big bad in Infinity War. So, if the big bad in Infinity War has two daughters in Guardians of the Galaxy, you're gonna see the Guardians there. So they've already
they set the table.
Every single Marvel movie has dealt with some sort of Infinity Stone. Hmm. And Thanos' glove has all the Infinity Stones in them.
Right.
So we're leading up to Thanos, who's been announced as our boy. What's his name? I'm drawing a blank. Dude from the Goonies. That's all I got. Anyway. It's the excellent actor who I love, who's in every movie, who I can't remember his name. He's in Sicario. Brolin. Yeah. Josh Brolin. Josh Brolin is Thanos, and that will be good.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about it. And last but not least, I want to say the effects, like watching Rocket. Two things that struck me about Rocket watching this is, number one, I was completely lost to this as a 100% CGI character the whole time, because it was such a good job.
Right.
And Bradley Cooper, he is committed to Rocket.
He is
doing a voice. Like I watch him do the voice. He's going in, all the dots in the face. He's like doing, he's like going in. So shout out to Bradley Cooper, who's really
bringing that character to life.
Well, yeah, and they talk about Andy Serkis, how he should be nominated for some of the work he's done over the years, and Apes and Gollum, and all this other stuff Andy Serkis has done. But, Bradley Cooper is bringing the heat with Rocket. He's kind of bringing it. That's all I got to say. But I really love the movie. I highly recommend it to all people.
There it is.
Last but not least, I want to mention Trill League is a comic that's coming to DC. It's basically a DC comic, but it's the idea of bringing DC superheroes to the hood. It has an era of corniness to it, but also has an era of cool and inclusiveness to it. It could go either way. It's all about execution. What do you think on first of the Trill League?
Stop it. I hate the name. I'm going to be 100% honest with that. I hate the name. But
we just try and keep it Trill.
Stop it. Conceptually, it could be something there.
But is the headquarters on the porch, or
I don't. What is that? Is that a woman I see?
I mean,
with her ass out? Like,
yeah, she got some shit. Is there a 40 somewhere, like a bag?
Oh my goodness.
Like, I mean, I don't, it's like, you got the fresh.
Stop it. There's nothing fresh about that.
I feel like sometimes in the effort to be inclusive.
Truly. So ridiculous.
The logo's kind of like, he's making it like a B-boy stance right there. Like, what's going on? What's going on with the Trill League?
I tapped out.
Again, I don't know.
You're endorsing this, my man?
I don't know. All I got is a promotional photo for Trill League.
I get
the idea. I'm assuming I'm going to go out on 100% on a limb. That came from a Kickstarter campaign. The guy came out, this is my thing. He is a graphic novel. I mean, I don't know if that's a cult following or what, but I'm very interested to see this. Now, unlike you know, the new Black Panther comic, which is written by our boy Coates. God, I'm just worse on names. Between the World and Me. Tahiti's
Coates.
Right. He's writing a new Black Panther comic. He wrote a couple of them with our guy Rembert Brown. So Rembert Brown and Coates, let's call him Coates, writing Black Panther. Now that's dope.
Yeah,
I like that. I like the idea of our boy. I can't pronounce his name either. Corky, the dude who's the EP Luke Cage. He's a huge comic book guy. And the fact that he's running Luke Cage, all this stuff makes sense.
Yeah.
That's just a very crazy subculture of black intellectuals, of young black intellectuals who are writing comic books right now.
Yeah, but I mean,
like Rem Brown.
I feel like that's true to spirit, though. They grew up on it, and they probably wish for comics that spoke their language. And so to be able to be in the position to do one now,
right?
I think it's perfect. It's full circle. You know what I'm saying?
This is very interesting. So,
Trill League, get out of here.
Trill League.
Let me not judge it too hard. I need to investigate that.
What's his little brother's powers?
Like what I'm seeing from afar, it looks ridiculous. Like I need to, like, let me see your computer.
Trill. I can't.
Is he dabbing? Is that what this is?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Oh my god. I don't know what's going on. Anyway,
with the cape. All right.
I don't know. The headquarters could be a little better of a headquarters.
Mama's porch. Like
could be a better. All right. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Trill League it is. That's it. That's all I got. Last thing. I do want to touch on the fact that Game of Thrones is coming back for its final season. But don't get too sad, Game of Thrones folks. HBO has kind of quietly announced that there are not one, not two, not three, but four Game of Thrones spinoffs in the works at HBO. They are really not letting us down.
That's right.
Letting us go. It's going to populate the entire gigantic, very rich world of George R.R. Martin.
Yeah.
So, you know, just when if you think you're done with Westeros and all these folks and all these places,
not yet.
Think again. We got four spinoffs on Game of Thrones, and I love Game of Thrones, but it's already complicated enough to follow all these folks. Now I got to have four series to follow four different folks to different places. I don't know, but you know, whatever.
Yeah,
I'll probably watch all four.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, all right. That's all I got. Anything else?
Nah, man. I think we covered it for this week, man.
Okay. Well, we will then see you next week.
There it is. Yes, we will.
Alien Covenant comes out this weekend. I'm about to check that out.
Oh yeah.
I still haven't seen Fast 8. I really need to go see that. I don't know if I really need to go see that, but I think I want to go see it.
That surprises me, too, because usually you're first in line for that one.
I'm always all in on
that. Yeah, you're riding the banner on that one.
I need to go see it. I did see Guardians. It's been a little busy. But where can the people find you?
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. And where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell and kicking it with the Trill League.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us, info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.